Hi everyone, I'm Ross Edwards, four-time author, coach, and host of the Deep Psychology podcast. Today we're talking about the post-conventional stages of development. This is part two of my three-part series on the post-conventional stages, which is part of my July and August series on the levels of consciousness. If you want to know what post-conventional means, go back to last week's episode, which is part one of the post-conventional stages episodes, where we cover post-conventional development in general and we look at the first stage. Today we're going to be looking at the second stage of post-conventional development. Next week we're going to be looking at the third stage. What I've discovered is that there's actually too much material to cover in just 1 month of episodes. That was really my plan, was to cover all the levels of consciousness in 1 month. But we've now had, this is going to be episode number five, and it's now coming up to like 6 hours of material. And we're not going to be finishing today. I'm going to be doing another couple of episodes in August to really do this topic justice, because... And also, it's a very popular topic. I can see that it's going down very well. And I'm even putting up some extra snippets on days of the week where I don't usually post anything. So, very popular topic. Today we're looking at another fascinating level of consciousness. We're going to cover in depth the key features of the yellow integral stage, which is also given the color teal by Ken Wilber. And at the very end, we're going to be looking at a concise field guide so that you can identify in yourself and others very quickly. Before we get going, a quick mention from my sponsor, Spirit Quest Tours, which takes small groups on exclusive sacred journeys to Egypt, Peru, and Turkey. Get $500 off your next trip by using the discount code ROSS on the booking page linked below. Also want to mention I have new long-form episodes every Wednesday with snippets on Thursday, Sunday and Tuesday, although I've got extra ones this month, all at 9 p.m. Central European Time, 8 p.m. UK Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Subscribe on Apple or Spotify to be notified of my latest episodes. If this episode resonates, you can go deeper via my fortnightly newsletter or by pre-ordering my latest book, The Boundless Body. The links are in the description. And of course, I really encourage you to listen to the entire Levels of Consciousness series, which starts at episode 151 and will go through to 157, I reckon. Because yes, today's episode is crucial, but if you want to really understand this topic and all its nuances and all its depth and all its breadth, all the levels of consciousness, really have to listen to the entire series, and it's very powerful stuff, and I think it's enjoyable to listen to. It's not just boring dry. I've made it very practical, given you a lot of examples. There's a lot of humor in it, and just it really will transform how you see yourself, others, and the world. So the yellow integral stage. So this is your second stage of post-conventional development, and this comes after the green postmodern stage. We're now getting into very rare stages of development. I mean, as I mentioned last week, green postmodern is about 10 to 15% or so of people in sort of modern democracies, which, you know, that it's still fairly rare, but it's visible enough that you can understand what it is from sort of your own life experience and from practical examples. Yellow integral, we're talking about 5% or so of the population in modern countries. Like, you're not going to find this in underdeveloped countries, most likely. We're talking, you know, Europe, we're talking Scandinavia, we're talking the US, Canada, the British Commonwealth countries, you know, these kind of modern countries, and even then it's really very rare. Like 5 to 10% of people are like sort of in research test as being in the yellow integral stage. And it's very highly dependent on socioeconomic factors, without wanting to limit it to that. But, you know, it tends to pop up in educated people, in more wealthier populations. And it's simply because, you know, having higher intelligence and having solved a lot of life problems, like financially and so on, it opens up higher levels of development to you. Now, don't make that into like a strict rule, but yes, there are certain demographics of people where yellow integral will be more common. Like people who live in cities, in modern cities, you're going to find more yellow integral there than in, say, the countryside. I gave that example last week because it's very true. So it's a rare stage. But it's, you know, if you're in sort of the space that I'm in, like if you're interested in psychology and spirituality and meditation and you listen to podcasts and you read books about this stuff, you're going to come across it, and the things I'm saying will make sense to you, and you'll have like probably references for it. But in terms of like people you know and your family and at work and so on, it depends where you work, but you know, in terms of like the general population, you're struggling really for concrete examples. So I'm going to try and keep it, I'm going to try and give you examples so you understand this from the inside out. So yellow integral, as we said, you go into yellow integral after you've been through green postmodern to a sufficient degree. Now, of course, there's no guarantee that you'll get to yellow integral after being green postmodern. In fact, I know way more people at green postmodern than I do at yellow integral. But what we can say, therefore, is that there's a deepening of all the post-conventional traits that we discussed last week, like post-rationality, post-logic, being like consciously constructing your life, your motivation, your epistemology, your worldview, and so on, rather than just inheriting it from your surround. Your identity becomes more transparent, you are becoming more consciously identified with spirit, and your worldview is becoming more inclusive and more spiritual, and so on and so forth. And there's more post-conventional traits that we discussed last week. I just don't have time to go through them again. But basically, all of them deepen because we're going further into post-conventional development. And it's interesting because the shift from green to yellow, although yellow is a post-conventional stage as well as green, in that regard there's no sort of shift, you've already undergone the conventional to post-conventional shift. What you are doing at green to yellow is that you're shifting from what other theorists call first tier to second tier, because all the stages we covered before, including pre-conventional, conventional and green, which is the first post-conventional stage, in other theories, those are what is called first tier. Spiral dynamics in particular talks about this. If you're not sure what spiral dynamics is, I have an entire series on it. Go to the homepage of my website and scroll down to find that. That's all first tier. Now, yellow is the first second tier stage. So basically what they're saying is that yellow is the beginning of a new meta level of development. It's like the beginning of a new, like every stage of development is its own big paradigm shift, but this is like a ginormous paradigm shift. We can call it like a remarkable shift in how you make meaning and what motivates you in life and how you see the world, how you relate to others, and so on and so forth. So this green to yellow one, listen, all stage shifts, all level shifts are huge changes, but this one in particular is often highlighted as a particularly significant one. In fact, Claire Graves, who came up with the theory that eventually led to spiral dynamics, called it a monumental leap in meaning. But we're going to come back to what exactly what first tier to second tier is in just a minute. In terms of like the big picture features of what Yellow Integral is, we can say that it has a developmental view. In other words, it sees the arc of development of the levels of consciousness in self, others, and human collectives like countries and cultures and so on. And this is a complete novelty in human development. All other stages of development preceding it do not have a developmental perspective. Yellow is multi-perspectival without being relativistic. You can also call it integrative for that reason. At Yellow Integral, we return to individuality, but we can call it tempered individuality in contrast with sort of red and orange, which we've already spoken about. At Yellow, we move into vision logic, which is basically a new higher order form of thinking. And at Yellow, we drop the green cynicism and nihilism in favor of a more like abundant view of life, essentially. So we're going to look at all those features in a lot more detail over the course of this episode. That's basically what we're going to do. Let's talk about the shift from first tier to second tier, because, well, this is a good place to start, because this is about the transition, the difference between first tier and second tier. And I want to start off just by saying that most people never undergo this shift. This is a very rare meta stage, meta level transition. And unless you've gone through it yourself or you know people personally, this might just seem like abstract to you, but know that it is the next shift above green postmodern. So it's actually not that detached. It's sort of, if you ask me the question, what happens after green postmodern? This is what happens. We know what happens in theory. So basically, by the time you're green, you're already post-conventional, as we said, which entails everything that we talked about last week, but you're still considered first tier, which means that you still sort of, you dichotomize, you demonize, you seek, you're seeking something. You're seeking like the ideal. You're seeking an ideal, which is basically what all first tier stages do. You blame, you choose and you filter according to your own biases, and you can be narrow-minded. Your motivation is often driven by what is wrong with the world, and you have a strong belief in what is wrong with the world. Now, at Yellow or Teal, as we often call it, you're still post-conventional, but you're also now second tier. Now, Graves, who was, again, one of the main theorists behind spiral dynamics, called this a monumental leap in meaning. He also said, it is, quote, the difference between getting and giving, taking and contributing, destroying and constructing, end quote. So basically all pre-conventional, conventional levels and green, the first post-conventional level, are sort of at war with the world. Sometimes subtly, sometimes quite obviously. They have their enemies, they have their favourite worldview, they have their favourite perspectives, and then they basically demonise everyone who doesn't agree with them. And this also has an impact on a personal level as well, because you basically favour your own level of development, your own level of consciousness seems like the only valid level of consciousness. So when there are parts of you that seem to contradict your current level of consciousness, you're in an internal war with yourself over own facets of your personality. Now, at Teal, this ends. For one thing, there's a huge dropping away of fear and compulsion, which we're going to talk about later. We think both and, rather than just one thing or another. You know, it's not just this worldview or that worldview. It's not this level of consciousness or that level of consciousness. It's both and. It's much more open. It's much more aware of context. It's much more aware of what makes people who they are. A good example of second tier living is doing something very might seem mundane, something like starting a successful business that deliberately improves people's lives and treats them fairly. So because you're getting, but you're also giving at the same time. You see, you're making money, but you're deliberately improving people's lives and you're deliberately treating them fairly. Now, you might think that green does that, but it doesn't really. Green isn't very good with money. Green struggles to start successful businesses. It's better in non-profit organizations. And it, to be honest, it often sees profit making as kind of evil, because it demonizes Orange so much. On the other hand, you might think, well, Orange does that because Orange is very individualistic, it's achievement minded, it's success oriented. But the problem with Orange is that it can be very selfish, it bypasses ethics, and ultimately it prioritizes success over helping people and treating people fairly. So that's at second tier, the person doesn't think in terms of me versus other people. It's how can I do something, and how do my actions benefit me and benefit others at the same time? It sounds quite abstract, but when you think, if you look at sort of examples like businesses, that really brings it down into reality, because if you look at most businesses, they don't deliberately improve people's lives. At second tier, we drop the green cynicism and nihilism, and we tend to be more optimistic about humankind. This is what Graves says about deficit and abundance motivation. You know, green is still motivated by deficit because it's very sort of fixated upon inequality and upon minority groups and upon, you know, demonizing the rich people and the powerful and so on. And so a lot of its energy goes there, and it gets very pessimistic about humankind, and it idealizes the past and so on, as we talked about last week. Second tier, you're not going to do that so much. It's not that you deny these things, but your attention isn't going to go there because you're now acting from abundance. You see, you're acting from a basic perspective that the world may not be perfect, but the world is good, right? And that might, again, sound abstract, but literally that can affect your mood. Like, imagine you go around thinking the world is fundamentally evil and it's run by evil people. Or, you know, if you're a blue conformist, you might think, well, there's the good people, you know, there's the people that follow my religion, and then there's all the bad people. It's like all first tier levels do this. They divide the world up into people who, the good ones and the evil ones, or the people who are on my side, the people who are against me. Second tier doesn't do that, and it assumes that the world is fundamentally good, even if it's not perfect, and even if it can get very ugly sometimes. At second tier, we drop our judgment to a great degree. You know, we stop judging the previous levels of consciousness. We stop demonizing particular people so much. We stop demonizing, you know, religion, and we stop demonizing science and so on. We just see it all as it is. We see human nature in all its glory, and we don't pathologize it. We don't idealize it. We just see it for what it is, and we don't get pulled in so much to the chaos. And imagine the freedom that comes with not having to like fix the world and fix other people, and to not have enemies all the time. This is also accompanied by a developmental view, which we mentioned. Just before we go into that, just want to mention quickly my sponsor, Spirit Quest Tours, which takes small groups on exclusive sacred journeys to Egypt, Peru, and Turkey. Get $500 off your next trip by using the discount code ROSS on the booking page linked below. So, yellow integral also has a developmental view. What this basically means is that you realize that human beings are unfolding through developmental stages. And this becomes baked into your worldview and your understanding of self and others to the point where it's really unavoidable. Like, you cannot unsee the developmental trajectory in other people. Now, often this can be accompanied by, or it can be hastened by, studying development, like studying people like me who talk about the levels of development all the time. If you do that, of course, you're more likely to see, you're more likely to have a developmental view. But what they found is that, or as far as we know, this developmental view is actually baked into this, the level of consciousness. It's not just because you study it. It's more like the actual perception becomes possible at this level of development. Whereas before, you don't really see development. Like, you don't see the, you know, you might learn about it at school and university in like a psychology class, but you don't grasp the depth of it. Like, if you look, most people do not have a developmental view. Like, the levels of consciousness are not baked into their perception. You can tell just by talking to them about the world, about human history, about current society, about themselves, about others. They do not have this developmental view. Does this mean that you go around quoting Spiral Dynamics or quoting me or quoting Ken Wilber all the time? Not necessarily. It means that even if you don't have a formal understanding of the stages, it's like you understand that people are going through development. Like, you can see the spectrum. That becomes obvious to you. And of course, you can look back on your own life history and you can see how you yourself went from, well, since we're using these levels in this way, we can say you look back on your own life, you see how you went from pre-conventional to conventional to post-conventional. And none of it was just accidental. Like, this is one of the things I realized when I learned about these levels for the first time. It's like, wow, my life was not accidental. Like, my entire trajectory, although we can't explain absolutely everything, we can explain a lot from the levels of development. It wasn't just this random process, even though it felt rather random at the time. You then look at your current self as sort of the developmental result of this process, and you realize that you yourself right now are occupying one or two dominant stages. And this, like, makes, remember I talked about how your mind and your ego and your psyche become more transparent with post-conventional development? Well, at yellow integral, it becomes more transparent in the sense that you realize that you yourself right now are occupying certain levels of consciousness that basically guide, as we spoke about in the very first episode of this series, it guides a large part of, like, your motivation, your worldview, your moral development, your ego development, your sense of self and other, and so on and so forth. Like, you can no longer pretend. It's like you no longer take it for granted, and you no longer think it's the best, because you realize that it's a developmental thing. It's not absolutely better or worse. Because of this developmental view, you relax your incessant rejection of human life. Because green is very cynical, it's very nihilistic, it rejects the modern world. At yellow, you really relax that. You can see the green perspective, you can see that, you know, a lot of aspects of modern life and of orange, the orange achiever stage, are rather unhealthy and unwholesome, and we're going to have to move beyond them. But it relaxes. Like, you're not going around all the time hating the world, as green postmodern often does. You see others as occupying levels of development rather than just being a certain personality type or being the way they are because of how they were brought up and so on. And this transforms your understanding of them, because imagine, you know, your partner or your family or your friends, you realize that they are at levels of consciousness that are either beyond yours or they're where you came from. Like, it's sort of, it's not that you have to like whitewash what that means, but it means you understand them in a way that you didn't before, because you realize that they are subject to the same levels of consciousness that you are. And so while you, one of you may be higher than the other, it doesn't mean that you're inherently like superior. And then all their personality type, their personality traits become more understandable because you understand that they are at a certain level of consciousness. You also see these dynamics in cultures and countries, and you'll start to understand things in terms of developmental dynamics, like certain political movements will no longer surprise you, because you'll be like, well, 70% of the world, say, are at blue conformist, so we shouldn't be surprised that all of a sudden there's some like ethnocentric, you know, religious fundamentalist leader coming into power, even in a relatively advanced country. That won't surprise you anymore. I mean, it doesn't become any less shocking, I suppose, but it's like, you know, you just expect the levels of consciousness to do what they do, because that's what they do. They impose themselves on the world and they create chaos, especially the first tier ones. So, it's like, things stop surprising you so much. I really encourage you to like look at how listening to this series of episodes on the levels of consciousness, notice how it alters your experience of self, others, and the world. And you'll realize that, and those effects are the direct effects of understanding things in terms of development, yourself, others, and the world. Because it's like you can't unsee it. But once you start seeing everything in terms of developmental dynamics, it's like you cannot go back to just seeing things as you previously saw them. And so I encourage you to look at, even if it's subtle changes in how you're understanding your world, that these things will add up over time, and eventually you might look back and realize that you have a very different view of humanity than you used to have. Also, because you have a developmental view, you'll begin the project of reintegrating all the previous stages in an optimal way. What do I mean by this? So basically, listen, at green, people get into personal development. Well, at orange too, but at green, what personal development looks like is sort of developing sensitivity, seeing your sort of mental patterns, developing emotional awareness, working on emotional intelligence, getting into spirituality, as we mentioned. While at integral, personal development expands, and it's more about reintegrating all of one's traits, like all the traits you've ever displayed in your entire lifetime. It's like reintegrating all of those, to honor them while also refining them, to embody the entire smorgasbord of what it means to be human, which includes sensitivity and emotional intelligence, but also includes things like anger, assertiveness, ambition, power, and belonging, and so many other things, like the entire spectrum of the levels of consciousness. Even if you don't know formally about them, it's like your motivation becomes to become fully human. And what that means now is like reintegrating everything that has come before, all right? So the idea of personal development is very different at integral to it, to what it is at green, because it's like, you realize that as a person, you have the capability to embody everything that of what it means to be human. And because of this developmental view, you can see the higher and lower without weaponizing it. So there are previous stages that see higher and lower. Like orange sees the higher and lower, but what it does is it sees it in terms of like status and possessions and money. When you see the higher and lower at yellow, it's seeing how people are at different levels of consciousness and being honest about that and not denying it and not trying to explain it away, but also not weaponizing it and not using it as a way to like feel superior or to like create division. You can certainly use it in a functional way, but it's got a different flavor. It's not used as like a demonization thing. It's used as an honest way to sort of appraise people in a way that wasn't possible before. All right, next big feature of the yellow integral or teal stage is its multi-perspectivalness. Multi-perspectivalness. So this is a big word that might sound very abstract, but it's really not, and we're going to make it very practical for you. So what is multi-perspectivalism? You can kind of think of it as an advanced form of relativism. You might call it post-relativism, I suppose, that is more integrative than deconstructive. Relativism is rather deconstructive, whereas multi-perspectivalness or multi-perspectivalism is more integrative. Let me give you an example, right? So green postmodern opens up to many perspectives on, say, spirituality. Like, it gets involved with Eastern spirituality, it looks at like contemplative Western spirituality, does all kinds of practices, it goes to retreats, it reads books from lots of different spiritual teachers from different traditions at different periods in human history. But what green also does is, because it's egalitarian and relativistic, it often either falsely equates different spiritual systems, or it just simply deconstructs them all. In other words, it can't truly compare them in a sort of in a faithful way, without trying to explain things away, without trying to over-idealize, without bringing things down a notch and so on. It's like it can't do this. It can see, but it can't integrate things. Whereas at yellow integral, what you can do is look at, say, 10 different spiritual systems and ask things like, which is most effective for X, Y, or Z purpose? Which is the deepest? Which of these are effective? Which of these are ineffective? What are the developmental levels underlying them? What is the context behind them? You know, where did the tradition come from, and how does this affect the tradition itself? What are the commonalities? What are the differences? And so you see, it's ranking and it's ordering and it's distinguishing, right? This is an example of what we can call, this is similar to what we can call cross-paradigmatic thinking. So we can't call it cross-paradigmatic thinking because spirituality is like one paradigm. Of course, there are sub-paradigms, but just go with me. Cross-paradigmatic thinking is when you can look at different paradigms, not simply different systems within one paradigm, but different paradigms, and you can do the same thing. So you can look at, say, science, and at the same time you look at spirituality, and at the same time you can look at psychology, and so on and so forth. And you can form like this comprehensive picture of what they're all trying to do without sort of reducing one to another, like without sort of artificially pretending that they're all the same, because they're not the same, but also without separating them and saying, well, they don't have anything in common whatsoever, and not making a dogma of either of those. It's like a sober comparison of different paradigms. This is literally the first stage in the levels of consciousness that we can look at different paradigms and compare them faithfully. In fact, Claire Graves says that yellow integral has a greater, quote, conceptual space, unquote, than any of the other levels. We can also say that at yellow integral, we have what is called vision logic. Now, Ken Wilber mentions vision logic a lot, but to my liking, he doesn't explain it enough. Vision logic is essentially analogous to multi-perspectivalness, because what it does is it is able to integrate, distinguish, and compare different paradigms or systems, which is what we've just mentioned. It includes formal logic, but it transcends it, and it is aware of context, whereas green, postmodern, or what we can call post-formal operational thinking, is not really aware of context. Because of its multi-perspectivalness, it is also far less dogmatic than any prior stage. For example, let's take Christianity as an example. So if you're at the blue conformist stage and you're Christian, Christianity is simply correct. End of story. If you're not Christian, Christianity is simply false. End of story. It's just black and white dichotomizing. If you're orange rational, most likely you're going to see that Christianity is largely demonstrably false, but it perhaps contains some useful life wisdom. Right? That's literally it. Green will likely look at Christianity and say, you know, it'll sort of falsely equate it to all other spiritual systems and not be able to distinguish it very well and not be able to arrive to deep conclusions. Or it will sort of deconstruct it and say, well, it's just relative, you know, it's just another spiritual system and there's lots of them and, you know, we shouldn't really trust any of them. Yellow comes along and it introduces this complexity and it's far less likely to just jump to conclusions, right? It'll ask things like, when is Christianity like developmentally appropriate? Like, if you look back in human history, what levels of consciousness were dominant when Christianity flourished and has flourished? And what stage of a person's life nowadays are they likely to subscribe to Christianity? They'll ask, where is it limiting? You know, how does Christianity limit people? They'll ask, where is it genuinely useful? Where, you know, what role does Christianity serve? They'll ask, when did it appear? What was the context in which it appeared? It'll ask, why does science criticize it? You know, so it's looking at science as another paradigm. It's looking at Christianity as another paradigm. And it's saying, why do they compete with each other so much? And it isn't jumping to conclusions saying, well, they collide with each other because science is simply, it simply proves that it's all bullshit. Yellow will not say that. In other words, it's not dogmatic, it sees the complexity and it's curious to discover rather than to just judge and jump to quick conclusions. Yellow, because it's multi-perspectival, will adjust its view readily if there is new information. It seeks connected big picture views. It is systems thinking. It's able to access systems thinking, which basically what it means is that it can see circularity. Like it can see how cause becomes the effect, which becomes another cause, which becomes the effect, which becomes cause, which becomes effect, and so on. It sees how things feed back into one another. Like, for example, the main bank in your country puts up the inflation rate, you know, rational people tend to just see one direction. They just see, put up the inflation and this will happen. And they might think a few steps down the line, but not very much. Whereas a yellow person would see that the inflation rate increasing is like one little piece in the giant puzzle. It'll see the feedback mechanisms. Like if we increase inflation here, people will spend less and that will mean this and that. And then like, it's like everything has like five causes and everything has like five effects and they all feed into one another. That is systems thinking. And also it sees symbiotic relationships. It sees pathological relationships. In other words, it sees things in an ecological way, not just the environment, but just systems in general. It sees unpredictable outcomes, like expect the unexpected, because one little, you know, flick of a butterfly's wing can cause an earthquake across the other side of the world, that kind of thing. orange doesn't really see that, and green doesn't really see it so much either. You know, yellow is really where systems thinking comes online. Systems thinking also involves seeing the context of things deeply, which we've spoken about earlier in this episode. And it also sees irreconcilable tensions. So it's not idealistic. It can see that, you know, the tension between, say, the tension between collectivism and individualism is kind of irreconcilable, and maybe it doesn't need to be reconciled. Maybe that's actually a fundamental sort of mechanism of human life, is individualism and collectivism, whereas prior levels of consciousness try to like resolve it and try to like couch one in the other, and so on and so forth. And really, it just means seeing how all aspects of a certain thing all fit together. Like, let's talk about consuming meat, for example. Now, I'm vegan, so you might think I've got a very strong opinion on this subject, and I do to some degree, but I can see the whole thing as like this system. So for example, right, on one hand, I understand that by eating meat, we are, you know, raising billions of animals and killing them every single year, which causes a lot of suffering, which we probably could avoid. I can see the environmental effects of doing so, you know, the gases that animals produce, and the sort of waste involved, and the energy required to create animal products could be avoided. The pollution involved, the fact that farmland can ruin the countryside and can take away natural habitats for wild animals and so on. The impact on people's diets, you know, eating meat and eating dairy, especially very highly processed and poor quality meat and dairy, is not good for you at all. I can see all of that. I can see the classic vegan arguments. I can see them all, and I genuinely believe in all of it. But on the other hand, and this is what I couldn't see when I was at Green, I can see the fact that humans have the basic need to eat and to drink and to obtain sufficient nutritional, you know, vitamins, minerals, protein, so on. I can see that. I can see that meat and animals and dairy have been how humans have solved the problem of needing to stay alive and feed ourselves for thousands of years. I understand that tradition is involved. If you look at any country, for example, national days have certain, you know, meals and so on that are often meat-based or dairy-based. I can understand that animals exist, and the entire food chain operates on basically dog-eat-dog. You know, the slightly bigger animal eats the slightly smaller animal, and then that one is eaten by the slightly bigger one, and all the way up and all the way down, till human beings can basically hunt whatever they want. I can understand that that is part of the design of nature, if we want to call it. I understand that it forms a part of people's identity. I understand that it's greatly pleasurable, you know, that meat is tasty, dairy is tasty, and so on and so forth. And I understand that I understand that people's lives depend on it. You know, there's billions and billions and billions of pounds, dollars, whatever, worldwide, that sustain the economy and sustain people's welfare because of the animal, you know, because of the meat industry, because of the dairy industry, and so on. And I can see the big picture that if we just, like, you know, green postmodern vegans have like this very idealistic view that, oh, we can just, like, all of a sudden we can just all stop eating meat and stop eating dairy. And listen, I think for some individuals that's true, but it depends on levels of consciousness. If you're green postmodern, that might be true. You might be ready to just leave meat and dairy behind. In fact, a lot of people, when they go postmodern, that is exactly what happens. But, you have to realize there's unpredictable consequences of doing that. Like, you might think it's a good thing to just stop producing meat, stop producing dairy, but who knows the economic backlash, the cultural backlash, the you know, people could all of a sudden, you know, people need to be re-educated. People need to know how to sustain themselves without eating meat and dairy and without just going to like their traditional animal-based dishes. And so I'm just giving you a few possible side effects, like unwanted side effects, but this is what system thinking is. And I'm not saying I've even scratched the surface of this topic. I'm just giving you an example and trying to like give you a window into what systems thinking is. It basically sees things like 10 times more complicated than any other form of thinking. And it sees, I think one of the key things here is it sees the unpredictable side effects and the unwanted side effects of any particular action. Green postmodern doesn't see that. It's very idealistic. It thinks you can just change things overnight. It thinks you can just, you know, eliminate like entire industries overnight and so on and so forth. Whereas a systems thinker, a Yale integral person, doesn't believe that in that. And they realize that things are more delicate and complex than that, and that people are at different levels of development, and they're not going to like you just shoving your postmodern progressive solutions down their throat. All right, so that's multi-perspectivalness. Let's move on to the final big aspect of the yellow integral level of consciousness, and this is what I'm going to call tempered individuality. So something I've not really spoken about this month, which kind of annoys me, but hey, it's done, is that basically all levels of consciousness are either predominantly self-oriented or they're predominantly other-oriented. For example, blue is other-oriented because it basically designs its entire life around conformity. Orange is predominantly self-oriented because it designs its entire life around individual achievement. Green is more other-oriented and self-oriented because it's about sensitivity, it's about, you know, addressing inequality, it's about environmental sensitivity and so on. And yellow is more self-oriented, but it has a particular flavor, and that flavor I'm going to call tempered individuality. So if you look at the previous self-oriented stage, which is orange tends to want to win at all costs. So it won't necessarily kill you to win like a red person would, but it will manipulate you, it will try and outfox you, it will outcompete you, and it's far less conformist than blue is. It now steps out on its own and it wants to achieve, it wants to get ahead, and it wants to accumulate, and it wants to have status. But because of having passed through green, yellow now is more sensitive about it. So it will operate on its own terms, it'll define its own goals, it'll step forward, it'll take charge, it will impose itself, but not in a way that is harmful. It will take others into consideration, and it's not trying to win over other people like orange does. It wants others and itself to flourish equally. Let me give you an example. If I'm going to write a book, this is an example because I'm an author and it's a very current example for me. So if I'm yellow and I'm going to write a book, first of all, I want it to be successful, but I'm also deeply practical about it in a way that green postmodern might not be. It might be too idealistic. But I also ask things like, is it genuinely powerful? Is it genuine? Is it honest? Is the publisher a responsible publisher? And will this have a net positive effect on the world? Because I know it takes money, it takes time, it takes resources to create this book. Is it going to have a net positive effect on the world? You see, so it's, am I going to win? Like, am I going to be successful? Is this book going to be successful? But also, are other people going to win as well? Like, is it genuinely helpful? Or is it more about me than it is about them? Yellow is freer to be creative, self-expressive, and entrepreneurial. And this is actually something that Claire Graves is pretty adamant about. The sort of personal freedom component. Because at first tier, at the first tier levels, you're still caught up in fear. And you're obsessed with certain outcomes. Like, orange is obsessed with success and status. Green is obsessed with like social justice and so forth. Yellow is just like, it doesn't come in with those biases and those sort of compulsive motivations. Yellow wants to help. This is why it's tempered individuality, pardon me. It wants to help, but not in a compulsive way. Green can be pretty compulsive about its helpful, like helping. It really, like, it wants to help, but it will abandon itself in doing so. It's driven by clean desire, not compulsion, or by the need for approval, by the fear of not acting, and so on and so forth. So it's more likely to just have a goal and to move towards it without overthinking it, without expecting too much, without bringing, without sort of sneaking in other desires and so on and so forth. It's far less conformist than green. It'll have its opinions and preferences, is less likely to adapt them to the group, but these are all chosen for functionality rather than for approval or from compulsion. It focuses on developing knowledge and expertise rather than sensitivity. Claire Graves says that this individual is, quote, ambitious, quote, shows ambition but is not ambitious, which is a fascinating line, but, and it might be hard to comprehend what that means, but to me it basically says they can be ambitious and they want to achieve and they have goals and they have priorities, but if they don't achieve them, it's not a huge deal, and there's not this sort of dependence on the success or on the outcome that there would be at, say, orange. Yellow scoffs at tradition and established ways, and it tries to innovate but without detriment to others. It's free of the orange compulsion for accumulation and status building. Its focus is on self-expression and competence, and it is far more aware of its role in the grand scheme of things. So that is the tempered individuality aspect of the Yellow Integral stage. We're going to look, to finish off, we're going to look at a concise field guide for the Yellow Integral stage. Like, how can you see it in yourself and others quite quickly? Like, let's have a few bullet points on that. Before we do that, a quick message from my sponsor, Spirit Quest Tours, which takes small groups on exclusive sacred journeys to Egypt, Peru, and Turkey. Get $500 off your next trip by using the discount code ROSS on the booking page linked below. So, a concise field guide for Yellow Integral. What I would say, if you want to look for a few things in people to decide if they're at this level predominantly, is complex, nuanced thinking that doesn't jump to conclusions. This is very, very rare in people, like shockingly rare. A focus on solutions rather than politics, status, and manipulation. Like in the workplace, for example, most people are focused on solutions because it gets them somewhere, because they win, or because it places them in a better position with the boss or whatever. Yellow isn't so interested in that. It's focused on solutions for solutions' sake. It's multi-perspectival, which is everything we talked about. Basically, it can compare, it can contrast, it can integrate, it can synthesize many perspectives and paradigms at once. It's freedom, it's free from attachment to any system of values or any particular way of behaving or being, and it has an evolutionary perspective, which basically means it sees everything as a result of the levels of consciousness. Those are the five things that I would encourage you to look for if you're trying to identify yellow integral in yourself or others very quickly. So everyone, that is all for this episode on the yellow integral stage of human development. Next week we will be back with the following post-conventional level, which is called construct aware. So do come back next week. Remember, I've got new long form episodes every Wednesday with snippets on Thursday, Sunday and Tuesday, all at 9 p.m. Central European time, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Subscribe on Apple or Spotify to be notified of the latest episodes. If this episode resonated, you can go deeper via my fortnightly newsletter or by pre-ordering my latest book, The Boundless Body. Links are in the description. And of course, really encourage you to listen to the entire Levels of Consciousness series. Link is available in the description to that. All right, I'm Ross. Thanks for joining me, and I will see you next week for the continuation of this series on the levels of consciousness.